not the main act. I'm going to be just chilling for like 3 hours.
Solo artists.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could have clowns.
Did you say cholo artists? Take it by the scene. It's what we're doing. Come and check it out. It's what we're all about.
Welcome, welcome to 561 Music. My name's Ben.
And I'm Ricky.
Let me take a look at you.
No.
He's, the beard's there.
James? No.
I'm not sure.
Justin? No.
It may be Justin. Maybe you are Justin. You're
Ricky Ricardo. That's what it is. It's Ricky Ricardo. My bad. No, it's Hector.
We are funny.
We are not, but okay.
So what have you been up to in the last couple of days?
I mean, you know, it was a pretty slow weekend. I mean, we didn't really have, like, Killbillies gigs or anything, like, you know.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
it was pretty mellow.
It was pretty mellow.
And my mum and dad are here, which is nice.
That's good. That's good.
And it clearly wasn't mellow because we did the 561 festival.
Yes, we did. Man, it was insane. It was so much fun and so much work.
And so what we're going to do this week is we're going to just have a chat with all of the people that made this possible. We got Justin and James with us today.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, fellas?
Going good. How about you?
Yeah, it's good. This feels like a little bit of a family affair, like having a family dinner.
I was going to make a whole joke about how, like, when you said we were going to chat with the people that were responsible for this, and I was going to say, oh, but they didn't make it today.
But anyway, yeah, it's awesome that you came here. And I think really the idea is that we're just going to kick back and just talk about how it went, talk about the festival. Why don't we do some like overview things before we get into specifics? How do you think it went, Justin?
I think it was the best one by far. This third one, just like we had an audience that was like a good sized audience the entire day. It wasn't like, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then the night got ramped up. It was literally just like start to finish packed house.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, that was a delight, 100%. Actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the weather definitely had a lot to play into that though, for sure.
but even then, I don't know, man,
because like people coming out early to a show like that. And, like, hanging out, like, that whole early time is not just the weather. They came out to see the show.
Yeah, no, it was...
Like, the people who came out early, they came out, like, with a purpose to come and see that 561.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, last year, well, and the first year. I think the first year was more of a people didn't know what to expect. You know, they were showing up for their friends. You know, a few bands here, a few bands there, that kind of thing. Last year was a little bit more of a solid, solid take on the festival and what it is and numbers and things like that. And people came out. I mean, we had good numbers last year. It was a good festival. But you're right, Justin. People came out last year, and it was like they came out for like waves. There was like, you know, like from 12 to like maybe 1, there wasn't as many people. And then like at 1 o'clock, it started filling up, and maybe it stayed like that till 2 or 3. And then that started dwindling down. And then about 3:30, 4 o'clock, another wave of people came. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was like waves of people. Here, it felt like by 12:30, the place was packed. Packed.
Yeah.
And it did not stop until like 10:30 at night or 11 o'clock.
I remember you looked at me when we were at around that time, and you just had this grin on your face, and you're like, it's packed in here.
It's crazy. In fact, I was just having a conversation with Kelly about it where, like, I remember you and I actually had a conversation, I think it was the day before, where you asked me, do we need the radios? Because you borrow those from the marina.
Yeah.
And I said, nah, we don't need the radios. We always have the radio on. Nobody ever uses it because they just come zip over and grab me or whatever. It's fine. We don't need the radios. And even Joe Cole, which was one of our security guys on Saturday, he came over to me and he said, where are the radios? And I said, oh, we're not doing radios. You know, people just zip over and grab me or whatever. And it occurred to me about halfway through the day that each time I had to get from one stage to the other, it was like a process trying to find a path and excuse me, can I squeeze through here? Like it wasn't just zip, zip like it was last year. Like it was packed. I mean, it was like standing room, man. It was crazy.
Yeah,
it
looks like the radios are going to make a new appearance.
Yeah. We might have just to buy our own, I think.
We didn't use the radios because I was also the radio. I can't tell
last
you
year.
How many. No, this year.
This year he was the radio. He absolutely was the radio.
I was never stopped.
have him do this. Have him do this. I need to know. We need him on this stage at some point.
Joe is coming to me with stuff. You guys were James with everybody. And just go do this. Go do that. I was like, go for man. Here we go.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you had asked me prior to the event. You're like, hey, so what do you want me this year? You know, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, you know, you were really good about wrangling people up and, like, you know, getting people to the right places at the right times last year. Just try to do that. And, like, I can't tell you what a huge help that is, yeah. You know? Like, just doing that for us. And when I say just, I don't mean, like, it's like a little thing. Like, it's huge. Like, the fact that you get everybody where they need to be when they need to be there is huge.
He fed everybody, too. He made sure everybody got food. Justin he made sure like I ordered mom. Food off the little great. Thing. Yeah. He was all about it. He had an Advil when I needed it. It was great.
Yeah, he's like, drink water. Yeah. Hydrate.
Without him running around doing all that shit, it would have been absolutely terrible. It would have been moments where it would have been just absolutely terrible.
I'd be dead, and we wouldn't have this podcast right
Definitely
now.
Definitely would never have been able to get through the last conversation. Right now.
This would be my eulogy.
Justin, you know, I meant it when I was saying that day, because I think every now and again you start feeling a bit self-conscious about kind of trying to feed and water us. But I was so grateful for it, because that's the kind of thing I forget to do. And all of a sudden my eyes are facing different directions and I can, you know, have a nightmare. So, you know, you really looked after us. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Well, I think this was like by far one of the most like efficient festivals that I've ever seen done. Like, you guys really, like, you're everything welcome. Was so, so on time.
Yeah.
And I do feel like a part of that is, like, you need to be in a positive mood. You need to be able to, like, let problems roll off the back and just go towards the next thing. And getting, like, dehydrated or hangry or any of that stuff like that, it just spirals you out of control. So, like, if you guys are well-fed and watered, then you're good.
You know, Joe, from The Shake, he came up to me at one point. You know, I was hanging out over by the main door area where Michael was checking tickets and stuff, and I was kind of leaning back and just, you know, enjoying whatever band was on at the time. It might have been The Little Things, and Joe actually came up to me and he goes, "You got nothing to do?" And I stopped for like a half a second, like I was like, "Oh yeah, no, I don't have anything to do. Like everything's running well oiled." And it occurred to me that like the first year, I was just a nutcase because it was like first year and oh my God, what's going on? I got to make sure everything's perfect. The second year, it was like it ran a little bit better and everything. And so, but we were still kind of running. We did other things. We had the lounge and all that stuff and everything. This year, for some reason,
it just felt like it was running itself a little bit.
Yeah. All our ducks were in a row. I had done a lot of, you know, pre stuff. You know, we had talked about different things and like we're going to do this and this and this way this year. And, you know, and I got to give credit where credit is due, man. The bands were all on point this year. They all showed up on time. They all got on the stage on time. Like, they all did what they were supposed to do. Nobody was asking stupid questions or anything. Like, it was just well, like, the bands really helped us out without making us crazy.
You know what? And this isn't, like, to saying the bands weren't amazing, because they were in terms of time. But the fact that it was all running half an hour late kind of just gave it a bit of a buffer. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. And that actually, it's funny because theoretically we were half an hour late, but we were actually running on time because we purposely started half an hour late because at the starlight was about to start. And of course, I made the mistake. The one mistake I did make was that I put a band on at 12 noon. And in my head, for some reason, I kept thinking doors were at 11, first band at 12. And it wasn't. Doors were at 12, and I had a band on at 12. So in the interest of them not playing to five people walking in, we moved it 30 minutes later, and they had a nice crowd by the time they started, which was nice.
And Dave wanted people to go came in.
Later. Yeah,
people came in right at the thing, so it was within the first 2-3 songs of the first band. There was most of the front half of that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. By 12:30, half the place was full, and by 1:30, like the place was packed.
Yep.
It was really cool, and thanks so much everyone who came out to it, because, you know, it wouldn't be a thing if you didn't come. So you know, it makes a huge difference that that people came and supported. It was really awesome, and we had a bunch of other people with us who were helping a ton as well. Keith was just there all day working.
Keith was a huge help. Every time he was helping over at the merch table and with tickets and things like that over by my wife's table there, and every time I walked by, I'd ask Kelly, you know, like, everything good? You need anything? She's like, I'm fine. She goes, I love this guy. He was so helpful.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I told him I owe him steak dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we really do. I think we should take him out.
Yeah, yeah, no for doubt. Sure, man.
And also Kelly. Kelly was a huge help.
She didn't do shit, man. Shots fired. No, I'm kidding. She was amazing. Let's start with the fact that her company was one of the big sponsors for the festival. So they stepped up to the plate and they showed us that they actually give a crap about the local music scene and that they give a crap about supporting local artists. So that was huge. She not only did that for us, but she also stepped up and had a had the merch table. And so she ran the merch table and did tickets at the back door that Joe would send people over to her. And then she also had a booth for her company, and she kept that staffed and moving, which had a photo booth and everything for
totally.
It. So she was
plus keeping, she was on the mic too.
Yeah,
she
was
getting up with us
with the raffle. Yeah, with the raffles and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. No, I thought she did a grand job. And we can't forget about our man, Mr. Galliano.
He didn't do anything either.
I didn't do anything. I just stayed on the side and had a fun time playing with electronics.
Right? So you were one of Palm Beach County's most little known and underrated sound guys, because you're so good at it, and but it's just like you don't do a huge amount of promoting that fact in the wide world, so no one knows. Yeah. And it's like, but you're so good at it, dude, and you did a killer job on that stage.
James only did three things that day. I mean, all he did was he was in Killbillies, he was in Butch, and then and he did all the sound for the second stage. I mean, that's all he did. He only did three things. I don't know what you're praising him for.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Yeah, it's because of you that half the show sounded amazing, and then two bands from the other stage sounded amazing. Aww. So, yeah. So you got more than half the show was just,
so I did
just
like,
because of you.
I did like 55% to 65%.
Yeah, there you go.
Those are numbers.
I got to tell you, Gustavo, who was running the main stage, he did a great job too. I've actually got to meet up with him pretty soon and get the files off him. But he was a nice guy, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He was killer. And so, yeah, really, that's like, who else was there and helping?
Mike.
Oh, well, Michael. Let's not forget Michael.
Yeah, Michael was there.
Yeah, and Michael always does a great job. And he,
so funny.
It's like a one-man security team.
Funny side story with Michael last year, Michael, a few people would slip through, and Michael would be like, don't worry, I get him. He goes, and so this year he's like, make sure you put everybody's wristband on the right wrist. And I said, why the right wrist? He says, because when I'm scanning the crowd, I can really quickly see who's got one and who doesn't. And he goes, if they don't have one, I'm going to ask them. So I'm at the back door. I'm talking to Kelly at the merch table, and these two ladies come in. And she was pretty good about catching people. Like, hey, excuse me, do you have a wristband? These two ladies come in, and they didn't have wristbands on. And they walked right past me, and I looked right at them. And they walked past me, and I didn't say a word. And Kelly actually called me out on it. She's like, what, you're not going to ask them for wristbands because they're good-looking girls? And I said, nah, Michael's got it. And she goes, Michael's all the way up there. And I'm like, trust me. At some point, those two women are going to want a beer. And when they pass Michael and they don't have a wristband, and sure shit enough, 10 minutes later, I saw them standing at the stage holding up a beer with a wristband on. I was like, go Michael.
On that right hand.
Go Michael.
Yeah.
He's a pit bull, man. That guy gets everybody. I love him.
He's a boss.
And Joe, we got to give props to Joe.
Joe Cole,
right? The back door.
Yeah, absolutely, awesome. Man. Yeah, he
love
was
Joe.
His
what's not to love with that guy?
Yeah, his big thing was that he kept telling people not to park in that parking lot where the bicycle shop is so that they wouldn't get upset, and they would still do it. And then he's like, you're going to get your car towed. And so it's like, so he put a sign on a cone like in front of the parking lot, like in the alley, and people would drive around it and go into the parking lot. Then he put it at the entrance of the parking lot, and they would still go around it. Finally, he stuck it right in the center of the parking lot, and finally people were like, and even still, we had to call out two people on the microphone and say, if you don't move your car right now, it's going to get towed.
Yep. He came to me and told me that, and I was like, I'll get the message to Ben, but I don't know, man. Like,
I know. I saw the people, like, sort of shuffling out.
And then he's such a good guy. Like, me, I'm like, if you ignore the sign, that's on you. But he was like, he saw like this, you know, he saw one person move a car, and then he saw this older gentleman go out. He's moving a Mercedes or something, and then he goes, I got to tell you how relieved I am right now to see him move that. He goes, I really felt bad. I didn't want to see the car get towed.
He's a
better guy than me, man. I would have been like, tow that thing.
Sucks to me.
Have
you ever been towed in West Palm Beach and then you have to go down to Fort Lauderdale by that place like next to the flyover and pick your car
up? Fort Lauderdale? Why?
Yeah, because for some reason that's where the contract is.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. To this really, really grotty looking place just on the side of the road.
Most tow yards are.
Yeah, totally. So, since that time when I got pretty burned with it, I've tried to be a bit more careful.
And then Doug, we got to give Doug some props. Doug.
Lighting. Doug.
He brought lighting. He made the second stage be amazing. Yeah, he had the smoke and the lights going in it. And I was like, dude, this stage is as big, if not bigger, Doug than the other one right now.
Yeah, man. Doug had some family stuff going on that day, some family health stuff going on that day. And he texts me and he says, hey, I'm going to be a little bit later in the day, but I'm still going to go. And I was like, look, if you can't make it, I'll figure something out. And he's like, no, I'll be there. So that guy's a trooper, man. He showed up. He showed up. And like you said, he showed up with the fog machines and the lights.
He made the small stage
look badass.
There was one time I turned around and I literally thought the stage was on fire because he had the thing and it was red. And I was like, whoa. And I literally turned off quick. I was really stressed out. I was like, it was an intense moment. And he was sitting there controlling it. I was like,
that's cool.
Kick ass. Man, keep doing that.
Yeah, those bands on that stage have some killer shots because it's the lights and the smoke and the way it looks legit, dude.
Yeah,
yeah. No, that was fun. And this year, even though we did have on the Galliano stage, it's not really the smaller stage, just another stage. On that stage, we had some of the music was a bit less intense, and that did work well. So I think that, you know...
Only some of it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, God, Zoo Peculiar was insane and intense.
Yeah.
And it was like half, just... Yeah. It was because it was such a... They're so small. It looked like, and then all of a sudden you're like, what's going on right now?
That was my favorite band of the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, that was just so much...
They're the best.
I parked myself in front and I just like, and just oogled them.
I'm not
and if anybody had come up to me and, Justin, can you fuck off? I'm watching my favorite band.
I dialed them in about 3 seconds and enjoyed the show. It was amazing. They were done super quick.
I'm tempted to put them on as the headline next year.
Yeah, oh, they really should. They really should. They should definitely be on as a later thing because they could really slay.
Yeah. I was talking to
them
later.
I'd love to see them do like a night show crazy.
I was talking to them later after their set and stuff, and I was like, man, you guys killed it. And he's like, hard to believe it's our first show, huh? I'm like, shut up.
I know. I love it. He's a great dude.
He's a great dude.
He's a super nice guy. They were super cool on the stage, really easy to set up.
Yep. And their music is so strange, but
I was listening to it.
It's so talented.
One of the things about them is the music, if you listen to it, isn't that strange. It's solid. The songs all work. They have choruses. You know, it's like it makes sense as music. You know, they dress super flamboyantly and stuff like that. But if they were just dressed like you or I, wouldn't seem, you know, and they wouldn't do the dancing. Wouldn't seem strange. It is kind of strange. That's like that weird sort of Russian kind of gypsy sort of vibe to it. But the songs are solid, though.
Yeah,
I don't know, that's, man. I think it's
soda pop.
I think that it's strange in all the right ways because, like, it's still got structure to it. It's still in key.
Oh,
you know, it's musical.
It's very well put together.
But it's like it's stuff you don't hear very often. When they describe themselves as what was it, like circus music from space or something like that, I was like, oh, okay, like this.
Yeah, like, that's
a very
actually
good
exactly
definition.
Kind of what you are.
It just perfect nailed it. And then he starts doing like the hops and his legs go to the side and it's
it's a lot of fun.
They're definitely one of my favorite local bands. They have been for a while. Butch played with them years ago and I was like, oh my God, these guys are great. And it was like prop and we were like, this is fantastic. And as soon as I got Euphobia, I'm like, we need to do something with these guys. They'd be fun.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be an influence on the next thing we do.
For sure.
I've never seen them live.
I
knew they were really good. I've never seen them live other than, you know, the stuff they've done here or whatever on the podcast. But yeah, after they played their set, I kind of half regret it because we put Killbillies on last on the Steinger stage because we were like, you know, who do we do? You know, who do we put there? What do we do? Whatever. And then we're like, well, let's just, you know, we didn't get a chance to play last year. We got rained out. Let's just put ourselves there. In retrospect, I should have put Zoo Peculiar in that spot.
Yes and no.
I have to say,
it was awesome where they were because they were at a great spot. They've introduced like a ton of people into the...
reeling them in
into their music that probably wouldn't have been there later on.
Yeah,
that's
that
true.
Came for a lot of those acoustic people, and like I think they randomly fit with that because they were loud and they were intense, but they were awesome. Didn't matter that they were like early in the day. It actually was like really kind of like a groove for them.
That's one of my favorite things too. Is when you see a band, and then like when you go to see a band, and then like the band that plays earlier like knocks everybody else out.
I
love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, totally. It's better to play shorter and like and really kick ass. Keith very kindly said that one of his favorite things, if not his favorite thing, was when we did that cover with the Little Things. So I think we held our own.
That was really, really
that
fun.
Was that was really cool. Was Britney Spears.
Was
it? Which one? Which song was
Show
that?
Show me what you
hit
want
maybe,
to
maybe even one more time.
Be.
Yeah. I remember I was walking, because I had some, I can't remember what I was doing. I was moving gear or something, and I was walking down the alley, and I was hearing, hit me, baby, one, and a little ukulele going, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got to get back there as quick as possible. And I just like ran with the rest of the gear, dumped it in my car, and ran back. And I was like,
they did a recording of that and asked us to be on the single. And so we did all our parts or whatever. And I think they're going to be releasing it pretty soon now. And so they hit me up before the show and said, hey, we want to play that song during our set, but we prefer it if you guys came up and did it with us. And I said, well, it's going to be easier to plug in your two ukuleles than it is to drag all our stuff in the middle of the day, you know, whatever. I said, do you mind, sticking around and doing our set? And she's like, no, you know, you sure it's okay? I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So we did it.
I was a little worried about it because we'd been so busy that we hadn't got a chance to all practice together, but it went really well.
It sounded great.
I practiced with them outside. You guys were doing your thing, and I went outside and was hanging out with them and was practicing. And I was like, I'm going to learn this out here again.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I know the song, but I used to play this song when I was a teenager, like on guitar, so I know it relatively well. But
aren't you Britney Spears' guitar player?
Ben Spears. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, because you mentioned something about how, people coming to see people that were there earlier. James, you were saying, you know, saw Zoo Peculiar, for example, and I said it, Zoo Peculiar.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Good job. So, he made him say it on stage, just a reference for everybody.
That was one of the best
Ben ones. Made him say Peculiar on stage in front of everybody when he has the worst time saying it, apparently. I didn't know this until this happened, I knew it was a very Hector thing to happen. Yeah. And then him putting him up there, I was like, oh, that's going to get him past it.
Yeah. He made me face my speech impediment. There was all these bands that came out, and like one of the big things that, you know, when this podcast started 3 years ago, 3+ years ago, whatever.
Jeez, time flies.
It started out as a, you know, again, as the story goes, you were approached by a radio station. It turned out it was just a, hey, sell ads for us, and then we'll give you an hour on the radio. And then, you know, talking to Justin and talking to you, and we were all like putting our heads together going, why don't we just do this as a podcast? You know, like, let's just. And so it really started out as a, yeah, that guy. It really started out as a, you know, this will be fun. It's just something to do, and it'll probably fizzle out soon, you know. But here we are 3 years later, three music festivals, countless number of shows with Ricky and stuff like that, you know. But. So at this point, you know, it's safe to say that the mission of the podcast, like, it's become a thing now. And the mission of the podcast is to create opportunities for local musicians. And I think we've done that. I think we've accomplished that. That being said, one of my favorite things is what James said is that, you know, there was 20 bands there. There's no doubt in my mind that nobody went there specifically for all 20 bands.
Right.
You know, people went there for two bands or three bands or five bands. And so I absolutely love, and how often do you think it happened that people were there this weekend and saw bands that they had never seen before, and they walked away going, wow, I really like that band, you know?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I think the bands all got exposed to new fans that they wouldn't have
been exposed to. Well, it's a good way to bind the community together and just have bands that don't usually play. Killed by Florida were talking about that. They said that, you know, that because there was that Descendants gig going on the same night, they were like, no, you know, none of the people who usually see us are at this. So it's like, it's cool because you get to put themselves in front of new people. And I think it's true, you know. That's what's cool about it is it's not like niche scene-based. It's just like a music festival, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly that. It's not any type.
Yeah,
and there's everything there. Everything that you could think of, type of band wise, was at that festival.
Totally.
Like, you had acoustic acts, you had light acoustic acts, you had harder acoustic acts, you had like classic style, more modern style. Yeah. You had rock bands, you had punk bands, you had hardcore bands, you had experimental stuff. A couple of them. There was one band on the main stage. I don't even remember what they were. They were crazy.
Oh, Mount I know Sinai, who you're talking about. Maybe. Mount Sinai.
Oh, they were great.
He opened up the show with
seen them.
Yeah.
The
longest.
Yeah. It was amazing. I never saw them before, and I was like, these guys are insane. They're
great
all
musicians.
Over the place.
Great
yeah,
musicians.
They have this 70s rock quality. They're like the Mothers, or they're like Deep Purple or something. When
yeah,
they did
they're, yeah. They've Deep got, Purple. That's a good one for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Their sound was very awesome, and everybody dug it. Everybody dug all of them, honestly. Everybody, yeah. There was no band had, you know, people
like
not
a couple
engaged.
Of rappers, you know, if we
all
do
the
again.
Bands were great.
Yeah, yeah, every band, I mean, that was one thing I went home thrilled about was every single band killed their set.
Like, yeah, everybody
every
brought
band
it.
Did. Every band did. I mean, and there's bands I've never really heard before other than on the podcast or something that I was like, damn, they're really good. And there's bands that I have heard before that I'm like, damn, they stepped up their game. Like, everybody yeah. just did so well.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Starrin, I thought she really kicked ass.
I know.
Yeah,
I only got to see a little bit of hers because I was busy for a lot of that one. But I only got to see a little bit. She did a great job, killed it.
She came up to me before she played because she played the night before at... I don't even know where it was, but she played the night before late, and it kind of blew out her voice, basically.
Yeah, well, I know all about that.
Yeah, and then she was going to have to do our set, you know, her 30-minute set at the festival, and then that night she was supposed to be playing at O'Shea's.
Yeah.
So she was freaking out, like, oh, man. And then she gets up and, like, knocks it out of the park, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Full
Your voice is fine.
Yeah. Whoa!
Yeah. She's like, totally. I don't know, my voice is, like, a little raspy, and I don't know if I'm going to be like, oh! I'm like, what the hell? You know, like, it's perfect.
You know, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about, you know, like next year, and do we like expand or do different things, stuff like that.
Wait, we're doing this again?
God damn.
I was thinking we don't even just have to do 20. Like if it's in a big enough place, we could do the 20 bands thing, dueling sound stages, and another stage, an acoustic stage.
Yeah, like acoustic stage.
So I thought about
solos and duos kind of a thing.
Yeah, I thought about something like that. Because somebody brought it up to me this weekend saying, like, oh, man, this would be great if you guys expand again. Because it seems like even though it's been the same place and it's been 20 bands and two stages, it has been growing somewhat with, like, added elements and things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the next step is definitely let's grow it, you know. And so somebody brought up the fact of why don't you guys do three stages. The thought behind that, and I think they meant three stages, like full three stages, like we have two stages now. But the thought behind that is I could have two stages – three stages or 10 stages, it still can't be more than 20 bands because you can't have two bands on at the
same
time.
Depends on how big the site is.
Right. But, you know, we're not doing it at the fairgrounds, or are we?
We could have a tent.
Yeah, but then right there you cut down, like, how people can see it.
Yeah.
You got to pick who you can see. That's never fun.
Yeah,
it's true.
I don't like that.
That's
at all.
Not fun.
I don't like that.
But what we do here usually,
right?
It's you can sit in one spot and not have
so
to
So I thought
these
about
bands.
Okay. So I thought about because somebody brought that up with the three stages, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. Then I thought about something similar to what you're saying with the acoustic stage. I thought about like. What about like an EDM tent or something like that?
EDM tent,
like you know, and then people can even like almost like silent disco. You can go in there and put on headphones. Yeah, like silent disco style. You go in and you put on headphones and you're listening to the DJ. Like that would be really cool.
Yeah.
But what James is saying is correct, though. You're now taking away from bands that could have been discovered by somebody that thought that they weren't going to like the band that maybe would have liked the band if they listened to them, but they didn't give them a chance because they went to the EDM tent or something.
We could do it later, maybe. Like the last 2 hours to have an EDM disco going on in there as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Like silent disco would be hilarious.
Yeah,
I just
want
to watch people do that.
I think that I agree. I just want to see people do that.
Exactly.
Like, with nothing going on.
Oh, whoopity, whoopity,
whoopity. It's something we should definitely brainstorm about, but you could also just put like two or three solo people just to play in there, like when people go get drinks or just need to go get rehydrated or go and hang out in the shade for a little bit. Like you can do that where they're not really like, obviously they want to be
like
out there, but like,
yeah.
Just something that, you know, just somebody knows, like, I'm not the main act. I'm going to be just chilling
for like
3 hours.
Solo artists.
You know?
Yeah. We could have clowns.
Did you say cholo artists?
Cholo.
Clowns, though.
Clowns.
Don't talk about my people.
Mimes. This has gone off the rails.
That's Madonna. You're voguing now.
Oh, I know what I want to hear about. I'm guessing everyone else will love this. Can you talk about Billy Doom?
Oh yeah. Billy, I apologize in advance if you're watching.
Sorry,
buddy,
this
actually
is such a
actually
good story.
I apologize to Andy because I know Andy watches every episode religiously and actually just like listens to it while he goes to bed at night, and like just like
this is gonna wake his ass up.
Yeah, it's gonna wake his ass up. Okay. So it's like 12:30, and you know, past midnight, we're like breaking everything down. We've got two stages full of just gear, and we're breaking things down. We're making piles of what's ours, what's the other sound companies, stuff like that. We go behind the stage and we start pulling stuff out. Well, Ben sets a bunch of stuff on the stage. He's assuming it's like, you know, different people's stuff or whatever. And so at one point I said, "Hey, James, this is your bass." And James goes, yeah. I said, "So then the other two cases," I said, "so these are Ben's acoustic and electric from Butch and Killbillies." And then you call out, you yell over from the side of the stage when you're cleaning up some other stuff. You're like, no, I have my stuff.
Yeah.
And I go, what the hell is this? So then all of a sudden, was it you that came out from behind the stage with the guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, what is this? And we all looked at it and we're like, that's Billy's guitar. That's Billy Doom. He left his guitar. So then I realized that the case that I'm looking at is empty. Like the one case was empty.
Right.
So I go, oh man, that's the case for that guitar. I can't believe he left his guitar here. This is crazy. So we're putting the guitar away. We're putting it, you know, put it in there. And then, you know, like not 2 minutes later, after we put the guitar away, I grab the other case and I go, well, then what's this? And I open it up and somebody goes, that's Andy's guitar. Now, the kicker to all this is that those guys were doing another gig that night.
Wasn't there another one, too?
Hang on. They were doing another gig all the way down in, like, Fort Lauderdale or something at Fat Cats because yeah, it was the after party for the Circle Jerks and Descendants. Yeah. So, okay. So I'm texting Billy going, hey, man, so I think I got your guitar here. And he's like, ah, oh, damn it. And he's like, all right. And I go, well, I think I have Andy's guitar, too. And he goes, shit, well, that's a problem. And he's like, we're about to go on stage soon, you know. And I was like, oh. And he goes, well, no worries. He goes, I have a backup guitar for me. We'll figure out Andy's, but I got a backup guitar for me. And I said, is it a mini Les Paul copy red one? And he goes, yeah, how'd you know? Because I'm staring at it. There was three guitars left behind.
Insane.
Three guitars, which I still have. And if you don't pick them up by the weekend, I'm selling them, baby.
Where do you?
No, I'm kidding.
Three guitars is a lot of guitars to leave.
Oh my god, that is hysterical. And we all felt so bad. We're like, I don't know what to do. What can we do? There's nothing we can do.
Well, and it wasn't like he was playing a prop down the road. He was playing at Fort Lauderdale. We're like, well, yeah. So I'm sending him messages, and I go, so air guitar show tonight? And he goes, don't worry, I got the moves.
And you know, so still no slick. Doubt he pulled it off.
So
no
Billy,
doubt.
We love you. I'm sure you pulled it off somehow, but bravo, sir, bravo.
That one big fantastic. Crazy guitar he has is really cool.
Oh, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it like a handmade?
It's beautiful. It's and people can see it too. Next week because we'll bring it on here and auction it off.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We will.
I want it.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
And
it is.
Next give and let give.
Yeah, that's coming up. I got three guitars for you, Justin.
May 19th, right?
Yeah.
So some of the highlights for me were I really enjoyed At the Starlight. I just thought
I love them. They're nerdy.
They're so fun.
Yeah, they're awesome.
they invited James to a D&D night.
Wow. No, a D&D podcast.
Really?
Like a gaming podcast.
Yeah,
I know. I was like, wait, no, this year. They're like, oh, we're going to have to get Ben? We're going to have to get... I was like, literally, everybody I talk with does this.
Oh, wow. That's
and they
cool.
were like, oh, I, yeah.
We got to do that. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
I know. I call out.
Sorry.
So when you guys are on the podcast,
message.
When you guys are on the podcast and I'm not there, could you be like, Hector would have been here, but he got kidnapped by vampires?
Yeah, vampires took Hector.
Vampires took Hector.
Like a year ago?
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's probably not doing well.
I'm trying to think of some other stuff that I enjoy.
Oh, I have something. I have something for you. One of my favorite moments, which was just, it wasn't even musical. It was just funny. We're sitting there, like, we're getting set up. We're doing some stuff. People are coming up to us as they're showing up, and they're saying hello, whatever. And here comes Emily and all her cuteness walking up to us, whatever. And Emily from Mad Mellow, for those of you who don't know who Emily is. And she comes up. She goes to give us a hug. And immediately, like, on the side of her neck, she's got a ginormous Killbillies temporary tattoo on there. But, like, at first glance, I'm like, what the? Oh, okay, it's a temporary one.
I mean,
right?
It looked pretty cool.
It was awesome.
It was amazing, right? So I had to text her on Monday, right? Sunday was Easter, so I text her on Monday. I go, so how easy was that tattoo to take off? Because I know sometimes those temporary ones, you got to like scrub them in alcohol or whatever. And she goes, I guess she used like Skin So Soft or something. And she goes, surprisingly, it came off fairly easily. And I said, I'm not going to lie.
deep down inside, I was hoping it was going to last for like 3 weeks and know, you were going to have to support the Killbillies on your neck like that. But yeah, she said, yeah, I didn't think it through, and thank God it came off because I had Easter at my grandmother's house and she would have freaked out about a neck tat.
That's funny. Yeah, they were really good, Mad Mellow.
They were really good, man.
You know, they're really starting to kind of take shape as a thing, I think. That band's going to be great.
They were fun.
I liked that. It was the first time I got to see them.
Yeah. Cool,
I'm gonna
man.
Pull up the list of bands.
Well, that jizz on drums.
It was really cool. I forgot to bring it. I was gonna bring a whole thing of beads
for her to
make more bracelets for me.
I got it.
Let me see your phone.
You were gonna bring beads to the festival.
Yeah, because she said she'd repair these because I bought a bunch of the beads off of her.
Oh.
When we were at Propaganda that one night.
Gotcha. Okay.
And she said that she would repair a bunch, and I had literally a whole bag of them sitting at the house, and I forgot them.
You're getting pretty beady over there.
I like beads.
Yeah.
I'm like a rattler.
I get it.
Oh, Young Fiction. I watched one of the. I'm stupid, I didn't record it, but watching Gavin was one of the most fun things that I had that day because he's up there playing, and then he just stares at me, and I'm like, "The hell is going on? Like, is he looking at me? Is it? Does he need help? Like, what's going on?" And he's just staring at me, and then he like sets down a drumstick and he just gives me the finger. And he keeps going. I'm just like, "What the hell is going on here?" And then his ride cymbal completely just flies off. Yep. And so he's trying to fix that. And in the meantime, I'm like, yeah, that's what you get deserve. That's what you get. And then it's just like one of those proud moments is that like his teacher, because like watching him, because he handled it fine. And his bandmate came back and like helped him kept the song going.
That?
Like just watching them deal with that, I was just like the whole disaster show thing.
Yep.
Like everything that I prepped him for paid off in that moment. And then he comes off stage. He's like, every damn show, there's something. And I'm like, I told you, that's like how
that's the life way it
is
works.
Like, yeah. That's absolutely how life is for a live performer.
So,
but it was great.
So I forgot to tell Gavin, but Kelly and I went to a show last night. It was the down in Broward. It was the Postmodern Jukebox. I'm sure you guys have seen the videos going around and stuff. And they do covers in like a jazz format.
Yeah, man.
And it's really fun. It's really cool. But Gavin has this thing that I've seen him do.
I have to send
do.
Somebody a message about that.
Gavin does this thing that's really cool, which you just reminded me of because you were saying how he's playing one hand and then flipping you off or whatever. And he does this thing. He does this thing at shows. So there's this one. I forget which song it is, but there's this one song. It's got a pretty clipping, beat, like, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. You know, it's like it's just kind of going. And at one point, you'll look at him, and he does it a lot. He'll keep it going, and you realize he's playing with one hand, and he's reaching down, and he's grabbing a bottle of water, and he's drinking the water, and he's playing. He's like, brah, 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 brah. He's doing these rolls and stuff, but with one hand, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always impressed when he does it, right? So the guy last night at Postmodern Jukebox is like, brah, 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 hands the stick off to his bandmate, keeps going with one hand, reaches down, grabs a bottle of water, and drinks it. I was like, oh, he stole Gavin's move.
Nice.
It's a good move, man.
That's hilarious, dude. Hilarious.
The other person that I thought did a really, really good job, like, sounded like $1 million was Brayton.
Like, I was just going to bring them up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounded
great. Like, they came off like so polished sounding. It was like, for a second there, I felt like I was like at a huge gig.
Oh, absolutely. They came out with a lot of intensity all around. Everything was, was strong.
I was talking to JC from Punk Rock Saves Lives. I was at his table. And Brayton was singing, and he's like, you know, he's doing the kind of, you know, pop punk voice or whatever, and then he does that like, you know, that growl voice that he does, and he does that, and like JC like was talking to me, and immediately he looked away and looked up at the stage. He's like, holy shit, that kid's got a voice, and he does, man. He sounds good.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's got good tone control too.
No, totally. Yeah. I had like a great opportunity to teach him for quite a long time until relatively recently. So you know, I've done a lot of like a little bit of writing with him, and talking about and teaching him guitar and stuff. And it was always a pleasure, man. He's very, very. He's a talented kid, but he also knows what he wants.
Yeah,
he's like gets it.
That's
and
rare.
He works for it, and it's like, you know, I just always been very impressed by his work ethic and, and his talent. Yeah.
Let's talk about, since I just brought him up, let's talk about JC and Punk Rock Saves Lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had them on the podcast a few weeks back, and we loved all the stuff they were doing. We loved their message. We loved everything about them. And so we brought them out, and we had them set up a little booth out there. And then we had a live painter come out, and it was my daughter's friend Lana from Dreyfus School of the Arts.
I love that picture. I took a picture of it.
So I had someone else that was going to come out, and through unfortunate circumstances, they weren't able to make it. And so I actually walked into my daughter's room like 3 days before the show. I was freaking out. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, I'm going to have to paint something, and I don't have time for this. You know?
I would have done it.
And so I walked into – I know you would have, but no thanks. So then I walked into my daughter's room, and her friend Lana was painting a painting there, and I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. I didn't realize – I knew she went to the School of the Arts, but I thought she was like – I don't know what I thought. I did, you know, communications major or something. I didn't realize she was an art major. So I she's, you know, she's a little introverted, and so I kind of coaxed her into, like, you know, you'll be fine. You'll be in the corner. It'll be fine. Let's, you know, you'll do it. I'll be there if you need me to back up you, you know, back you up, et cetera.
And she's a little shy. She doesn't want anyone to know she's shy, but she's a little shy.
She's a little shy. But she is, like, she
ridiculously
knocked it,
talented.
Just knocked it out of the park, man. So, the, like, it. 2 days, this was, like, Thursday, she says, I don't know if I want to do it because I don't have a design. And so we brainstormed together, and I said, okay, I you know, I kind of gave her some ideas. I never sketched anything out. I just gave her some ideas. I'm like, I want something like this and like this. I want some graffiti. Maybe you don't have to do a, like a realistic person, maybe a silhouette of a punk rocker or something. And she came to me with that painting as a sketch in her sketchbook in color with watercolor and everything. She came to me with that sketch on Friday night at like 11 o'clock at night. She was sitting in my daughter's room, and they were like talking about it, and she sketched it out. And I was like, that's fucking amazing. She goes, yeah, that's okay. And then I go, yeah, I got the canvas. I got the paints. I got everything for you. And then she came out and just knocked it out of the park.
She did look
so
great.
So she did so well that someone else came up to her while she was painting and said, I have an event too, and I'd like a live painter. Can I hire you to do that? And I was like, fuck yeah.
That's when you know.
That is so good.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah.
Well, throughout the day, I was going over and just taking pictures, and I think I tried to like line them up where it'd be like the same shot, so we could like show it just like throughout the day.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, nice.
So it's like cool. It's like three or four different shots,
yeah,
but we can
well
do
done.
That. And then I got a shot of the person who won it at the end, so maybe we'll just like throw that up there.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's pretty
yeah,
awesome.
I got well some final. Plan, yeah, I got some final shots of it and stuff. But yeah, that was a great painting. And then we raffled that off, and so we raised a few bucks. I'm not even 100% sure what the final tally was, but we raised a few bucks for Punk Rock Saves Lives, and he was super appreciative of that. So we'll
Jesse,
have him out.
He's a good lad.
He's a real
nice
good guy, man. So we'll have them out at more events, man.
Yeah
for
absolutely.
Sure. We'll
and definitely check out the episode that he was on. Because what was it? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was about two,
something
3 weeks
like
ago. Yeah,
yeah. Because that whole episode was just such a fun. It was such a fun conversation. It was like one of the ones I just wished I was in here for.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good one.
Watching Billy Doom is Dead reminded me again, like, you know, why there's like a buzz about them. They really slay. Like they've got some tunes, man. And now I know that's the, you know, a couple of their songs well. And I can sing along with it. I'm like, all right, I get it. And did you hear the? It sounded like there was organ in that one. You know how this organ? I wonder how they were making that come
out.
It's
got to be some pedals or effects or something.
Yeah, probably
might
a pedal.
One of those guitars they left.
Yeah, exactly. But I
special
have a,
sound from.
I'm gonna have to plug one of those in. See what we get.
I have an organ pedal. Maybe they do too. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
Let's talk about Exigent, man. I had not seen. I was either out of town or something for that episode, so I didn't even see them here in the studio, and then I haven't had a chance to see them live. And the one time I had a chance to see them, they ended up going on last. It was one of the AAYC shows that Ricky puts on.
Yeah.
And they went on last, and I had to leave literally as they were going on. So I still hadn't gotten a chance to see them, and I was bummed. And then they came on, and
it's pronounced Exiculia, by the way.
No, it's Exigent. I hate you. It's Exigent.
Exipeculia.
It's Exigent.
Came up to me and was like, I'm surprised that wasn't one of your kid bands, because they played like a Muse song and a Foo Fighters song.
Yeah, for
and
real.
I was
Joe
like,
was like, huh? Yeah.
No, they're not mine. I wish they were. They were good. Yeah,
they're
really good.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that girl bass playing was
they
just
got a good future.
Kicking.
Dude, the girl on the drums, like, holy crap.
Dude, I've got to show you some pictures of her of her real kit. So when she's not using other people's kits, she has an Evil Dead themed kit.
It's an SJC kit.
So cool.
It's the coolest thing you've
ever seen. It's an SJC kit.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's made out of metal.
Wow.
This thing is insane.
It looks ridiculous. Yeah. It's so cool.
They were such a surprise.
Yeah.
I
that kid is really good at guitar.
He's
flying all over the thing.
Yeah.
I
loved it. A lot of mealy.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, but BFD was definitely one of the best bands of the night. And I know it's feels like pandering because you two are like right here. But seriously, like you guys were in, I'm not going to say in rare form, but like you guys were more energized
The audience
got
me
cranked. You had them eating out of your hands. You were just like, no! And then everybody was just like,
I know. I was making Mom do the doot doo doos.
Yeah. Everybody had the doot doo doos going.
That was a lot of fun.
I actually saw your first hand go up at one point, and I was like, oh, he's Freddie Mercury. Like, check it out. Like, I'd never seen you do that.
Yeah, because they were all into it, and I was like, let's go. Yeah. Like, once I get that energy going with it, it was fun.
I'm getting comfortable now, too. I can relax a little bit, you know, like I can, like I'm not feeling like I'm holding on by the skin of my teeth, you know?
Yeah. And especially BFD is a very, for me, it's very, like, bulletproof one, so I don't have to think on that one as much, and I can just, now, especially knowing that we've got an extra voice, knowing that we've got the extra guitar, it feels there's just a good energy going on with it. Yeah. I'm just like, let's go. These people were all into it, and
Well, I said something to James. I said something to James similar to that when he got off stage. I was like, man, you guys, like, you know, you crushed it, and you were like, you know, you just the energy. And he said the same thing about the crowd that night. He was like, yeah. He goes, the energy was like because I was feeding off the crowd. The crowd was great.
Yeah. Joe's mom came out and started a pit.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was like the best thing. That was his mom and his crowd started to pit in like the middle of the set.
Joe brought like 20 alcoholics. It was awesome.
Yeah, man.
And they all partied. It was so much fun.
There's no pit like Joe's mom's pit.
What?
Oh, God. All right, buddy.
I'm about to beat that one out.
I love that you guys closed with
Psycho Killer.
Joe is just so much fun to watch on that one. He sounds so much like him.
My God, there was I was telling Joe that night.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I was on the side and on the back, like filming and taking crowd shots with them in the foreground or whatever. And
he's got some good ones.
There was a band. You guys started doing that Psycho Killer song, and these two just knockout women come flucking like just flying through the crowd, like cutting through, and they just get right up in front of Joe and they're dancing and they're pumping their fists. Yeah. I'm like, oh, Joe's got it going on tonight.
You were probably just jealous.
Joe doesn't know he's got it.
Yeah,
going
a little bit.
But he does.
Yeah.
So he in does. Case you guys he don't does. Know, Hector has become I don't know how to say it. Just
Milhouse.
He's just the most Milhouse. According to South Floridian women, he is the cat's pajamas lately.
It's the upright bass, man. Yeah, it's the upright bass, baby. I'm telling you.
He used to be Paul Rudd, but now he's the sexiest man alive.
He's been doing
it. It's happened. It's happened.
Yeah, it was like George Clooney, Paul Rudd, and then now it's Hector.
James and I like may as well not be there. It's like the Hector show.
It's that giant block of wood you got and you're slapping it.
Easy.
Well, what'd I say?
So the Smoke Boss Militia, they had that really, really interesting instrument. It was like a banjo resonate. No, what was it?
Yeah, it was like a resonator banjo.
It was, okay, yeah. And it was like down, it was like a low one too, wasn't it?
It seemed like it, yeah. I want to say it was a lower than standard G.
I think it was like a long scale. That's what I think it was,
Vega.
Yeah. It was really cool, and
it was very guitar-y. I like it. It had a lot of body. I liked having like a little body.
Yeah, I'd love to check him out. Like, I'd love to have a go on one of those. I mean, really, honestly, all the bands were good. You know, there was no one who let us down at all. And I had a really good time. I had a great time. And then the next day, I got up to go and see my parents, and I was like, "Why am I okay? Like, I don't feel like." I'm in bits, and it's because one of the things that is the worst with all that kind of stuff is stress, you know? And, like, the stress makes you so tired and, like, really wears you out. And I wasn't all that stressed.
You make Hector do everything, it's pretty easy.
There is that.
But there was never a time.
I was never really stressed.
Everybody
either,
trusted
though, so.
Their
Good.
Jobs.
Good.
And trusted, like, other people had their jobs. Because we've done this a few times now, and now it's like, we know what's going on there. You just like, all right, especially we have him going between. It was like, just go to him, get it done. We knew it was going to get done by the time we turned around.
Yeah.
We could trust that when it left us, it was taken care of. We didn't have to worry like, oh, God, maybe I should go check on that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to say that I had zero stress because that's just not me as a human being. Like, I stress about everything. But the fact that I actually have recollection of at least a little bit of every band because I actually took the time to watch at least a few minutes of every band this year as opposed to other years. I'm like, oh, did they already go on? I didn't even know that. That was five bands ago. Like, you know, stuff like that. This year, I actually had I had the time and I was relaxed enough to be able to take a few minutes and watch every band at least for a little bit, some more than others or whatever. And
and everything still got done. It wasn't like, holy crap.
You know? I only missed a couple because of the BFD line switch in there. I missed like one that I really didn't see much of. And a couple others because I was just distracted because I was taking a break or something like that.
Sure.
But other than that, I really was able to sit and like enjoy most of them for a little while.
It felt like a bluegrass festival at times.
Yeah.
Because everyone was sitting
in chairs. It definitely had a little bit more of like an energy to that kind of, especially with the organization and every, like all that kind of it.
Yeah.
The bluegrass festivals are usually a little bit more organized.
Yeah.
And a little bit more like, I don't know, family like.
Yeah.
This one was definitely, like I said at the beginning, like it was a really well organized festival and it went really, really smooth. And I think that's because everybody was firing on all cylinders and like there wasn't anybody that had too much on their plate or not enough on their plate. Everybody like had
And we had our emergencies. We had our problems. I mean, we had multiple instrument mess ups and stuff like that. And like we got extra instruments. We borrowed from other people. We made it happen. And we still really finished pretty much on time. Like nobody really went over. Nobody really, most of the bands stuck to their time limit on their own. You know, most of the time when we cut somebody, like they were either about to do that anyway or maybe only had one song that they took out. Like that's not like, I love that everybody came prepared for that kind of
Like it wasn't our first show in general.
It happens to a lot of people. Happens to a lot. Almost all the bands probably had to like drop one song. It always ends up being that way.
Or just in general.
Sorry, inside joke of.
All right. Well, listen.
We cry.
Listen. I think it's probably time that we called it a day. It's been absolutely a delight working with you this weekend, and also just you guys are my homies.
It was fun.
Ditto.
It was a ton of fun.
Yeah. Absolutely
it
was.
And I never want to do this again.
Good job,
again.
Buddy.
Hey, I'll do
When's the next one?
There we go.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Back on April Fool's again?
Good work.
No, because April Fool's will be like the second or something.
I know, it's going to be.
It's going to be like a Tuesday.
No, it'll
but
be the first.
I would like to move it back to the first weekend of April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it will be April Fool's Day eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually,
I would like to move it to the second week in April,
just so we can have Hunter come.
Yeah, first week. Well, first week in
he
April.
He didn't even deny. He's just like, yeah.
No,
second. He's like, yeah, it's pretty much all for Hunter
and Ricky.
Yeah,
and Ricky wasn't there because of his. Right. Yeah, I'd like to move it to the first weekend in April. Ideally,
I would like to
move it to the second weekend in April because of all the Killbilly stuff going on in March. It just gives us a little bit of a buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because usually we're coming in hot off of that March.
Yeah, for real, man.
But April showers, so I don't know. We may have to move it back to March.
It's very confusing. We'll figure it out. We could move it to February.
Nah, that doesn't work for me. I have the Street Painting Festival in February.
Oh, gotcha. I tell you what, these guys don't need to know about all this stuff. We'll figure it out, guys. Don't worry. And
November 11th and a half. 11th is November 11th is going to be the next festival.
Oh, and don't forget that Nina's Yard Party has released a single. It is, if you're watching this, you've probably already heard it, but it's called Deader Than Dead. It's on this channel. Please go and check it out because I spent a lot of time.
Ben and I
on
are playing
video.
Too this weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
We're playing Friday with
we're playing
Sunday, Butch and
too.
The Fat Dudes.
That's true.
Yeah, what
Butch
do we have
playing.
Coming up?
Yeah, and we're on at about 7ish.
And Euphobia is playing.
Right? No, we're about 9ish, aren't we?
But yes.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, we're 9.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, and
it's at East Ocean Pub.
Yeah, East Ocean Pub.
In Jensen,
and it's just a cool spot, man.
Yeah, super punk place. It's like
my
really...
mom's coming.
Nice,
sweet.
Yeah.
I love that your mom's coming to that.
Totally.
It's gonna be amazing. Yeah. Euphobia is playing. If you haven't seen us or if you saw us at the second music
at the
festival. We're gonna be
Shake and Bake.
At the Shake and Bake,
we should plug
playing
that.
For the first time in a little while.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
And Nina's Yard Party is playing that too.
Yeah, I think
right?
you guys are playing it too.
Algorithms is playing.
Algorithms.
Is this the one in June?
No. This one is in June, yeah. It's June 16th
well,
at 4 p.m. at Respectables in West
Nina's
Palm Beach.
Nina's is playing as well.
Yeah,
Nina's is playing as well. It's
but
just
here's, not here's the thing. Are we going to be here then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was wondering.
And you will see from the festival, you'll also see Billy Doom is Dead, Blab Scam, 33 Lions, and then you'll see Euphobia, which is me, Ben, and Hector, and James, and Brandon, who's not here. Nina's Yard Party is playing that one.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Algorithms, which is me, Ben, and Keith, and Ryan, who's not here. Two of my kid bands, Fire Breathing Rubber Duckies.
Love them.
Yeah. And System Destroyed is going to be there. Nice. And a whole bunch of other great bands. And The Shake's going to be there, which is like one of my favorite bands.
That's
locally,
brilliant.
So.
Are they actually playing?
I believe so.
Okay. Sick. Nice.
If they don't, then I'm a liar and I shouldn't have been. And
yeah,
Ricky,
I thought
you're
they were
a jerk
taking
for
the
making
year off.
Me a liar.
That's why I'm asking. And then one more thing that I definitely want to say is I want to thank each and every one of the sponsors for this event because obviously without that, you and I would be broke right now.
Yeah, faux show.
You know, Oasis Root and Kava Bar, you guys have like not only come through on the festival, but you guys are always come through, you know, supporting the show in general every month, which is amazing. Live music community, Justin, I mean, you're always here for us when we need you, you know, no matter what, you know, gear, podcast, etc. You're always here, man. Galliano Family Salon keeps us all looking as beautiful as we do, but no, never mind. James, you know, stepped up to the plate, took care of that whole stage for us and everything, brought all the gear, did everything. So I appreciate that. Raincat Recording Studios.
Cool spot.
And those guys stepped up last year, and I reached out to them again this year, and they said absolutely, and they ponied up the money, and they did.
A couple of them like played.
Yeah, a couple of them were in some of the bands.
Bear Maze.
Bear Maze. I love Bear Maze. Those guys.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, they were great.
The Shirt Series, which is out of Miami, those guys stepped up this year to give us our shirts.
That's right.
So, yeah, so they sponsored us in kind by giving us all the shirts and that we were able to sell and raise money for the festival. Backsavers Chiropractic has been there since day one, since the first festival, and they were our top tier last year. They were our top tier the first year, and when I say top tier, it's because nobody took the very very top slot. So they were pretty up there, and this year they took that same slot again. But then Law Offices of Steinger Green and Finer came in and took the top tier. So I appreciate that. Appreciate them stepping up to the plate for that. Pure Honey Magazine always there helping us out. Last year they ran an article, they put an ad in there for us and stuff. This year,
yeah, a lot of people in our corner this year.
Yeah, this year they ran an article. They ran a full page. We ran a full page thing in the center spread there. They ran another couple smaller banner ads and stuff on the website. Of course, Matthew's Brewing for being the host and host location and stuff. And then, it was just an amazing year. Like, we had mentions on the KVJ show. We had mentions. Palm Beach Post named us. They put us in the top five things to do this past weekend, and we were in the number one spot, which was amazing. KVJ show took a minute and talked about us and how, the festival's been there a few years now. We had mentions on some other podcasts and things from around town. There was a lot going on. So it was a lot of media stuff. It was fun, man. We had a really good time.
We're starting to feel like people are actually noticing we're doing it.
Noticed that we're doing it.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah. In fact, talking to Ricky today, and Palm Beach Post has reached out to Ricky because we do the 561 Music Reggae Sundays at Northwood with Ricky. And so they reached out to Ricky, and he just did an interview on behalf of 561 for Reggae Sundays at Northwood
for the
Palm Beach Post. So yeah, it's been 3 years in the making, but we're finally starting to make some strides. We're starting to get some recognition, and what I love about that is that recognition for us is recognition for all the musicians that we're trying to get. We're trying to create opportunities for the musicians, and by getting these kinds of things, articles about us and mentions on the radio and things like that, it shines a light on us, which ultimately shines a light on those musicians. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So I'm real happy about that.
100%. That's what it's all about. And we're just going to keep plugging away. We're on to bigger and better things for the local music community. Watch this space. Keep supporting us, and we'll keep pumping out podcasts every week, and we'll keep putting on gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming on and chatting with us, gentlemen.
See you later.